You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Hot singles in your area looking for jobs.
And Daryl.
Yeah, weak orders are for the weak.
Greetings and welcome to episode 102 of The Training Dummies, recorded on August 12th, 2015. My name is Daryl and I am in a sauna recording right now. Actually, a sauna and a wind tunnel all at once. As usual, with me this evening is my bro host with the most, Rob.
You told me I wasn't allowed to say that anymore.
Did I? Well, so. Neither one of us have bothered to change this yet, so it's going to go until one of us changes it. It's just going to be what it is. Joining us tonight, all the way from the Nexus, we have the one, the only, Multizord.
You're listening to the training. Ah! You're listening.
Oh. Hold on. Let me try that again. I've never done that before.
100-something episodes in the bank and...
We gotta leave it in now.
Daryl's recording.
We don't edit. We don't edit. That's in there.
Helicopter. Daryl's recording from the helicopter pad of like a Navy SEAL base somewhere. And this is gonna be good, though. I know. I feel like it's gonna be good because we lost a Heroes match right before we started playing.
So oh yeah, just to get ready for this.
Bound to be great.
But I wasn't playing Diablo. There's that.
Yeah, you know. Speaking of Heroes, I think we'll do some few interview questions and get to know you just a little bit, and then we'll get into the good stuff. So, how, what, when, where, why did you start playing Heroes, and what would you say is your favorite hero to play?
Well, I got to do all the question words. let's see. How did I start?
I left one out somewhere.
Yeah, you didn't ask where.
Who? Oh, I did say who. Who's your favorite hero?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Perfect. No. How? I guess I logged into my computer and, like, hit the button. Mm-hmm. I don't know. How else to play?
Technology.
Games? Technology stuff. No, I got my invite into the Tech Alpha not right away. I was a couple months late, but a bunch of my buddies were already on. I'm from the Lords of the Storm podcast. You guys are familiar? All of us were back then playing a ton, and so we just sat down and thought to ourselves that we should do a podcast because we've been playing this game together as like a 5-man group for some time now. So, nice. But anyway, so yeah, I got on there with a bunch of my buddies and I forget exactly when. I think Brightwing was maybe already out or coming out soon, if that gives you any frame of reference. I don't know. Anyway, I got into it because I'm a huge Blizzard Games fan, of course. But I was one of those guys on League of Legends for a couple of years there too, so it seemed like a logical jump. But I haven't gone back to League. I seriously have played League maybe 2 or 3 times since I got invited to the Alpha, so I don't know. I like Heroes better.
Is that the thing? People play Heroes and go back?
Yeah, some do. I have one of my good buddies, still plays a ton of League, and I'll ask him, hey man, you ready for Heroes game? And then he'll say, oh, I'm in the middle of a league, and I have to wonder why, because,
yeah,
it feels like the past to me at this point.
I think Blizzard's done a lot of things right and better, and I don't know. A friend of mine, Justin Ignatian, that came on and did our first Heroes episode a while back, he's been through the ringer to all the different MOBAs, and every once in a while, he'll be like, oh, we should play Dota, or we should play Smite, and I'll be like, no.
Right. I hear you. Well, and I mean, it's good. It's easy to be, like, moderate at a few of them, but to really be really good at one, I think you kind of got to stick with one, because they just feel so different sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if you're switching to something like Smite, or, like, a totally different feel. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But anyway, my favorite hero, to answer your question, though, is Arthas. I was one of those guys who, at the beginning of the Wrath of the Lich King, jumped right on that Death Knight train and rode it into the ground. So
nice.
So yeah, all about the Arthas still, even though he's not really kind of a meta pick right now. But then again, neither is Diablo technically, but I still think both can be really good. I'm going to make that case.
All right. What is the origin of the name Multizord?
All right, so long story. The Zord part, the suffix, is actually from a gaming community, or cult, I guess you could call it, here in Kansas City, where I'm from. It's a bunch of us that got together to play World of Warcraft originally a decade ago in the vanilla times. But the multi part also comes from WoW. Midway through my WoW career, I switched accounts. Longer story there, but anyway. And I was trying to come up with a new account name. And, you know, like in hip-hop music, often when you're using the word player, it's shortened to playa, right, for short?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a playa, man. You know, stuff like that. Yeah. Right. So
what the kids
it was
are
that. And I'm really into multiplayer games. So I thought, like, to myself, what if I was multiplayer, right? Yeah. So that's where I was going. But at the time, like, this was when Wrath of the Lich King was out. I was switching over to a new account. And so I thought for sure that name would be taken by everyone, right? Like every little 12-year-old kid that wants to be a rapper. Nice. Already has this name. Not true. I signed up for the account name Multiplayer and my character name on Arthas, which was a really popular server. Multiplayer went through just fine, so I guess I'm just that original. I don't know.
And that's a...
So the prefix and the suffix are the fusion of the two, and that's the Zord name.
What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of gaming?
So this goes back to World of Warcraft as well.
I like it.
It's definitely World PvP for me, nope. But it's not like just your standard ganking that sticks out in my memory. It was the goofy stuff that we used to get together to do. Like, we used to go to Stranglethorn Vale back in vanilla, right? And it would be probably like 10 to 15 of us, and we'd just take off all of our weapons on a PvP server and then just go find some level 40s to just crowd around and beat down with our fists until they died, which took a little while. Like, they really had to kind of suffer through that for a bit. And, of course, they'd get on their mains and come and try to take us out, but we'd just put those weapons back on and take care of it. So that was fun. The other one that sticks out in my mind for World PvP was in Wrath of the Lich King again. I was on my death knight, and I had this group get together where we coordinated what we did was we went into the area right in front of Ironforge, right, in the dwarf starting zone, and we found this warrior that was out front doing the dueling, you know, like they used to do out there. And so we actually took him, because he was already tagged, and we grabbed him and then dragged him against his will through a series of CCs, like, you know, death grip into mind control into, like, a knockback into another mind control into another death grip. We dragged him against his will all the way through the dwarf starting zone to a lake on the far eastern side, where we pulled him down into the water and through sheeping and rooting and whatever, drowned him.
Jeez.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And we got him on vent afterwards, and this dude was just like, you know, at first I was kind of mad, but eventually I was just cracking up the whole time. So it was.
I ain't even mad. Yeah, I
should
have
good. That. Nice. What would you say is your favorite role to play in Heroes?
Oh, I'd have to go with Warrior for sure, or Tank, or whatever you want to call the roles in this game. They space it out into just four different little subsets, and Warrior, mm-hmm. I guess, is fine. I kind of like the tankier ones generally. I say this being an Arthas fan, too, who's not the tankiest one these days, but Diablo's up there. He's definitely one of my favorites. That's why when you guys came to us on Lords of the Storm, I was to get someone on for this show, I think I was the obvious choice, because I love Diablo still. It was nice. A good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. I like the... I don't know which class I like to be, or role, whatever.
Don't you? You said you didn't like support that much.
Well... Because I do, but I find myself, like, if I just log in and I don't have a quest staring at me, mm-hmm. it's usually assassin or support or assassin or specialist.
It's probably a good call, though, just because, like, if you're a good assassin and you're just kind of solo queuing or hopping on with a buddy or something, if you're getting your damage in, you can have a real impact in the flow of the match. I don't know. And they're just fun. It's just fun killing people. I don't know what to tell you.
It is. it totally is. I think.
What about you, like, Daryl? What's your... go ahead.
No. I was going to say... I'm just going to say... I could never... I think the reason why I leveled up so many different heroes so much is because I just couldn't really nail one down. And then Butcher came out, and then finally I was like... I didn't want to like him, but I did. I fell in love with the Butcher.
I did the same thing. I wasn't going to buy him, and then he was free the other week, and I got on there, and I was doing really well, and I just... Yeah, I had to do it.
He's ridiculous. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, how about you, Daryl? What's your role that you run with?
Well, if I don't have a quest, I'll pick Diablo, so I'll say tank.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. not support. How's that? I really
not support.
I don't like the support in heroes. I've done it a few times, and it just, I don't know. It doesn't feel natural. It doesn't. I don't know. I haven't had
some
fun playing support.
Yeah, Lily, dude, Lily.
Lily's really,
I don't know.
Fucking Lily, man. You haven't even played her yet, have you?
I think I've got her to like level 2.
Do you have
her? She's probably the easiest one.
I do believe I have her.
If you don't have her, I'm gonna have to.
I think she's only like 2,000 gold. If you don't,
I think they bumped her up to 4K. But
is it
using a bundle I got? One of the bundles I got.
See that?
Oh, okay.
Lily, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's pretty sweet.
How would you compare Heroes to other MOBA games? I know we almost got into that a little bit.
Yeah, we started off a little. I think it's a little less technically complex than some of the others, like mainly only because there's no real creep score, as you see in like League and Dota and that sort of thing. There's no creep deny and that
the
sort of thing.
The last hit and all that.
The last hit, right, exactly. So, I mean, there's some of that, but I mean, to me... That just makes it a little bit more digestible, because I remember being super into League of Legends and like reading up on guides and, you know, checking out videos and doing a bunch of stuff to try to up my game. And I came across this one article that was like, the way to improve your game, the best thing you can do to help yourself is to just kill more minions. And I was sitting there like, do I really play this game to just kill minions? Is that the whole point?
Yeah, right.
So that kind of started to wear on me. And then when I learned that this is how they're doing it in Heroes, where, I mean, the whole point is that you kill the minions, but the end goal is just to get through them so that you can start hitting towers and win the game. I liked that a lot. So I mean, it's a little simpler in that sense. I mean, stuff with, like, the shared EXP and the not having items, but instead just having a set talent tree that you can go through. Mm-hmm. All that comes off simpler, but, I mean... In the end, it is still just as deep and team-oriented as any of the others. For example, like right now we've got all the qualifiers for BlizzCon going on in it, and Tempo Storm is just miles ahead of every other team right now. And so I think that kind of proves that, like, even though the game is a little bit simpler, it's possible to be still just amazing at it. I mean, it's still a team-oriented game that you can just... get a couple buddies and really hammer out. So,
do you feel like watching those qualifiers and the big events? Do you feel like watching those helps you?
Oh yeah, no. Actually, I was going to definitely say at some point that I think one of the best ways you can help improve your game is to just kind of see what they do. Even just like, because the problem with watching it, though, is that obviously if you're a guy like me that hops in a couple quick matches, maybe a couple Hero League games with some buddies and some pugs and stuff, I mean, you can never really force them to do things that you need to do to really play like one of these teams. But you could still, like, what you really need to do is if you can research someone that you know plays a particular hero that you play quite well. Like, I mean, Daryl, if you looked up some of the pro Diablo guys out there, or just tanks in general, you can get just so much out of it. Like, and just watching their little movements of when they engage, when they disengage, and just so much that can be gleaned from that for sure.
Yeah, my buddy of mine, he's always... the other day I hit him up and said, look, man, I feel like I'm kind of hitting a plateau a little bit. I haven't really dialed down into one hero so much to where... you know, I'm gonna get it to level 20 or anything, but I'm like, whoa, critique me, what can I do? And so he was like, you know, he gave me a few pointers, but then he started talking about stutter stepping and like all this stuff that was just like, I was like, okay, there's a whole another level of stuff that's out there that I haven't even gleaned yet, really, you know, really step up your game, you know.
For sure. So, and I mean, to compare it to other MOBAs, a lot of these pros carry some of those skills over from some of the other MOBAs, of course. So, like, stutter stepping to them is just like breathing. So,
yeah.
So that puts us at a little disadvantage. But, you know, I mean, I'm working on mine. I see a noticeable difference on some of those, especially the ranged, you know, assassins getting that stutter stepping in for sure.
Yeah. Awesome.
But yeah.
Oh, cool. Daryl, Jim, I know we put a spot for other questions here, but
no, none of the interview style. So
cool.
Hi, this is Molson from the Training Dummies Podcast Spectacular, and you are listening to the Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
I swear that guy better be at BlizzCon in some form this year.
I agree.
You guys are both going?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this will actually be my first.
Oh, really? Sweet.
Uh-huh. Be my second.
Be a good year to go.
Last year.
Maybe my last, but I don't know, but it'll be. I'm going to make the most of it. So.
No, that's really cool.
If you do have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we are active on Twitter over at Training Dummies. I'm at Rob Copen, and Daryl is at Hind_TTD. You're still keeping the Hind tag, huh?
Yeah, I am. Why wouldn't I? Yeah. It's my name.
I don't know. You were rebranding to your name. You know?
Oh, I suppose I could do that. I'll leave it like that for now.
Well, tonight we have decided, in another attempt at self-serving ourselves, that we wanted to talk about Diablo, and mainly for Daryl, because, like he mentioned, that's his go-to warrior. And like Malty mentioned, I did reach out to the bros over at Lords of the Storm, and I'm a huge fan of that podcast. So if you guys like the game at all, and you're interested in anything from strats to maps to what's coming up to hero rotations to the invitationals, any of that stuff, they do a great job covering that. So I did get in touch with them, and fortunately, Malty agreed to come on tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit about Diablo. But I think to start off with, we've talked about playing a warrior and a tank, and as much as it does share a lot of similarities with the MMO style, what would you say that it means to actually play a warrior in a MOBA arena?
This one in particular, earlier I said, kind of hinted that if you're solo queuing, you can get a lot done in a match by being an assassin, getting your damage in, landing the right stuff and all that. But I think the opposite's kind of true when you're playing with friends or doing anything in a semi-competitive capacity. Mm-hmm. Because to be a warrior, in my mind, in this game in particular, you can be the leader. Like, you can set the pace of the match. You can choose targets. You can also choose which objectives you're going for. Like, I know when you're playing World of Warcraft, if you're in, like, raided battlegrounds and such, a lot of times it's the DPS that's choosing the target because it just makes sense. They're switching with you, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But in Heroes, if you're the guy in there doing the peeling, doing the knocking back, and, I mean, in Diablo's case, hitting that overpower and grabbing someone and pushing back, you're choosing the targets. And you can... I've found that, like... It's especially good if you're all on comms, of course, and you're able to actually say, okay, well, go for the Jaina, go for the whatever. You can get a lot done that way. But even in regular games, you can just ping their heads. If you get in the habit of that, you'll notice a lot of people following up and really just kind of following you. It's a good role to play if you like pinging the targets and playing the chess game, if you will, of going to the different objectives and merc camps and all that. So that's what's fun. And for me, too, like... The other fun thing about being a warrior is that I don't have to be a chicken. I don't have to be sitting back, hiding behind someone's back and trying to get pot shots in. I just, especially Diablo, man. I mean, you can just charge in there and just stomp fire everywhere and rip someone's head off and vomit all over everyone else. And, like, it's just fun. I don't know what to
say. It is fun. I agree.
My biggest problem when playing a warrior is that I feel like I don't quite have that finishing power. I don't quite have, like, you know, I want to get in there and just light into somebody and watch their health bar just go, and I feel like warriors, sometimes I'm like, oh, like you were talking about Johanna earlier. I'm like, Johanna's freaking awesome. But I'm like, she's just like, she is a tank with a wet noodle running around. Like, I want her to just hit. I want her to hit so hard, you know?
Yeah, you do kind of feel like you're walking around with a wiffle ball bat sometimes. But past that, like, I don't know. One tip I'd have for you on that, though, is that, and this is true for Diablo as well as any of them, I think, stutter stepping on them is good, too. I mean, you can land, like, if you side along whoever you're chasing and try to keep up with them and just do these slight turns to land your auto attacks as you go, you can do a lot more damage. I mean, again, it doesn't look like a lot because you hit them and you can barely see their health bar move. But a lot of times, one or two auto attacks can be the difference between whether or not they escape, get behind a wall, or whether or not you kill them. So, yeah, even though they are low damage, and yeah, Johanna is maybe the pinnacle of that, like, so low damage. But, I mean, every button she has is CC in one form or another, so she's still really good.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Okay, yeah. Before we go any further, and before I hear this comment anymore, can you explain what stutter stepping is? Because I have no clue.
Oh, sure. Okay. Stutter stepping is like, it's kind of hard to describe, but it's this method of, like, very lightly tapping steps in between. Like, as you're running, you can, when you target someone, like if you hit A to target whoever you're going for, you can just leave that on, and your character will auto-run, and then just kind of try its best to keep up with whoever you're chasing and get some hits in. Especially, like, think of playing maybe Raynor or one of the ranged assassins, you know, where that's just what you're doing. You're trying to lay into someone. But sometimes you can get a lot more out of stutter stepping, which is where you kind of take a tiny step forward and then retarget the whoever you're going for and then do a tiny step maybe to the side, retarget, tiny step forward, retarget. It's just a different way of moving, and it's just it opens up more possibilities in terms of, like, how you can travel the lane as you're either harassing someone or chasing someone or running. I mean, you can kind of, like, run away from someone a couple steps, turn around, shoot them. Run away a couple steps, turn around, shoot them. Like, there's a lot that can be done with that. And so, yeah, that's just kind of the idea. I mean, I'm not a pro at it.
There's something with stutter stepping that helps with the rate of your auto attacks a little bit. I don't know if it reduces the cooldown between attacks, but when you take that step and then when you stop it, you're able to auto attack immediately again rather than having to wait for that timer. So it's a very micro thing.
It is, and it's part of what makes some of the pros just do insane damage. Like, and again, more reason to watch pro matches just to kind of see what it looks like for them to even move this way. And yeah, but like, it gets so complicated when you get into, like, for example, Raynor has this ability where he increases his attack speed for a time. And when you do that, you still stutter step, but you have to do it at a different rate to maximize your damage. And it's just, like, what came off as the easy hero that was even in the tutorial ends up being super complicated because of stuff like that. So
there is a ton of hype around some warriors right now, and I know that the last qualifiers with Mardin, was it an 86%?
Oh, yeah. Mardin.
So there's a lot of hype around, you know, Johanna and Mardin and everything, and then people are kind of bashing Diablo a little bit. So, I mean, is it a case of bring the player, or is Diablo in a bad place, or is he fine? He's just not top tier? Or?
Well, okay, look. First of all, like, if I were an outside viewer of Heroes of the Storm and didn't know anything about Blizzard games, I would find Diablo to be the most interesting character anyway, because I'd look at it and I'd be like, look, here's some sci-fi guys, a couple bugs from outer space, and ooh, there's a couple guys with swords, and here's the devil, all right? Honestly,
right.
Messed with everything. But anyway, so I love him from that perspective to begin with. And, okay, as far as whether or not he's truly viable and what he brings to the table, he did take a little hit to his survivability fairly recently. which was kind of lame. He had all this stuff that used to give him a ton more health and health regen and all the stuff that's been brought down. And it is because he really was top tier. I mean, both he and, who was it at the time? ETC, I think, were
yeah,
just...
ETC was way up there.
Yeah, they were so good. And I mean, you're right. I think that Muradin and Johanna are kind of those... They're the duo now, if you will, for meta choices. But here's the thing, though. Like, Diablo, as you know, I'm sure, Daryl, I mean, his kit is just cool. Like, you can never... Yeah. Survivability aside, you can never take away the fact that he can grab someone, throw him over his shoulder, knock him back.
And, oh, I love that combo. I do it all the time.
Yeah. Or knock him forward, grab him then. I mean, you can do so much. And both of those are stuns, so, like, either of those can interrupt people who are trying to channel something. In general, you can just have a huge impact on how the group fight flows, and he's really good at pushing lanes and all that stuff. And what's actually really cool about playing him now is that because he's not really the meta pick, he tends to drop in overall usage. Like, you don't see him in as many quick matches, Hero League, and that sort of thing. Yeah. But with his drop in usage, people actually tend to forget what he's really capable of in a group fight. So, I mean, I would venture to say that if you just like his kit a lot, and if you just like playing the devil, worshiping the devil, if you will, then just do it. Because, like, a couple weeks ago on the podcast, we have this community shout-out section where we feature something. And if you want to talk about warriors that are in a really bad spot, Chen is in a terrible spot now.
Dear Lord, yeah.
Like, I used to main Chen, and I can't even now. But there was a guy who got to rank one Hero League as Chen, only playing Chen, and then he wrote this really detailed guide on, like, what changes would bring him in line with the other warriors, and, I mean, he even admitted that he was a bit underpowered, but he did it. So my point is, like, if a guy can play Chen and get to rank one Hero League, you can definitely do it on Diablo, and I would find it easier, probably.
We used to always say, we've made comments for years now about, you know, people that have been on our Warcraft raid teams, and, you know, there's this one guy that we would always joke around, he'd be wearing green gear from the previous expansion, and he would still put everybody under the table, you know. And so, I mean, I think it's a matter of, like, I mean, like you're saying, this guy who played Chen, he just dedicated to it, went for it, and enjoyed it. And it's like, it doesn't have to be top tier or top meta right now. Like, I mean, especially, I mean, well, I'm not in the qualifiers. I'm not trying to go pro.
Right. And that's what I was going to say, too. Yeah. Like, the top meta, if you will, is really more of a reflection of what those top-end pros are doing, too. I mean, for guys like us, playing a couple quick matches, or even pushing Hero League. Like I said, you could get to Hero League rank one with Diablo, no problem. And in fact, I would much rather run with someone who's comfortable on Diablo, really knows his stuff, gets the right things, pings the guy he's about to grab and all kinds of stuff. I would much rather run with that than some dude that's just kind of dinking around with Leoric in the back, you know?
Or getting self killed the time. Murky Leoric build.
Okay, I would like to do another sidebar.
Sure.
Okay.
The term meta you guys keep throwing around. What does that mean?
Oh, I don't know if you want to take this one, Rob. Meta game it's short for meta game, which is like the just general agreed upon best ways of doing things, if you will, or what generates the most wins, I guess. Like, I know this happens in Hearthstone a ton. I know you guys at varying levels of success are into Hearthstone. And
varying levels. Well said.
I listened to last episode. I know.
Nerf the innkeeper.
Yes, that's right. It's way too powerful. No. But so, like, I mean, there's definitely a metagame in that one where certain decks just do really well because they have a good win percentage against whatever's out there, and whatever's out there can also be called the overall metagame because that's just the culture, if you will. It's kind of what the gaming community for that particular game agrees is at least cool or fun, that sort of thing. So when we say that, like, Johanna is a meta tank, we mean that she's just good. She gets the job done. She gets in there and soaks damage and does not die and is really cool. And the reason Muradin is so good now, I mean, he's got a stun, he's got ways to escape and heal himself and close the gap even with that same leap that he has. Definitely one of
the too. Candy King skin.
The Candy King
skin. That totally sets him off.
Oh, yeah. The chocolate one in particular. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I always, when I say meta, that's it. I usually use that in terms of what's popular right now.
Okay.
Like what the top tier or what the pro guys are playing. So like, you know, that's the current meta that people are looking at.
Right.
So okay. The meta game of like this, the game within the game, which heroes are people taking that are, you know, that are the popular ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you stopped me though, because I would have just rambled on forever.
I know, like we were talking earlier, I do listen to a lot more podcasts, and I don't think Daryl has the time, or you know, he's got like 15 kids, and he's going to be sponsored on a reality show here pretty soon. But
I don't think quite that many. Like, three,
and he's really. But you know, I mean, everybody's at different levels, and you know, if you're you pick up terms or whatever, you know, I mean, I got, you know, buddies of mine, you know, we're talking about Ignatium earlier, and he and I are always talking, and he'll use a term, and I'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about, dude.
And yeah.
Link me this 30-minute video about stutter stepping. I'm like, oh, okay, that's how that works. Like, but it's good stuff if you're able to get into it or if you care about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Good. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah, no problem. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, it's the same question gets asked a lot in a lot of different games, but it's like, you know, if you're willing to put in the time and dedication, really, you can make it shine. So.
Yeah, and I think you can do that on almost any hero in this game, and I mean almost for sure. But you can definitely do it with him. Like when you're playing him. One of my favorite things to do is you can actually kind of play mind games with your opponent. I don't know if you do this much, Daryl, but you probably do without even knowing it. A lot of things I like to do is, he's the Lord of Terror, first of all. So I like to inflict terror on my enemies. So I bully the lane a lot. I tend to step up and try to get like in the middle of the lane, maybe even halfway through their minion wave. Partly because then you can do your fire stomps, which is his W. And get those fire waves coming out and start clearing that lane if you choose to. But also partly because you can use his, I think it's called Shadow Charge, his Q.
Mm-hmm.
You can charge an enemy with that, and you can even charge minions. So, like, cool thing about standing midway through the lane on Diablo is that, A, you're the devil, and that's scary enough. But B, you can kind of just hang tight, and if someone tries to gank you, like if a Nova pops out at you from behind you or whatever, you can just either shadow charge her into the wall, knocking her back, stunning her, making her take, you know, turret damage oftentimes. Or, I mean, you can, if you're just really scared for your life, you can shadow charge a minion that's closer to your wall, use that as your, like, gap closing to your escape, and then get out of there. So,
awesome.
That's what's really fun about him. He, if you like a warrior that's really aggressive and just kind of in your face all the time and being imposing. I mean, he has a talent called imposing presence, but he can actually be an imposing presence as well. So it's a really fun one to do that with, which is why when he took the hit on survivability, it did kind of suck because you were used to doing even more of that and you can't as much, but my point is you still can.
All right.
Awesome. Want to just real quick go over the abilities before we get into the talent choices?
That's probably not a terrible idea. Sure.
We can probably take a moment here. You already mentioned his Q ability was Shadow Charge. 60 mana, 12-second cooldown, and target an enemy and just charge at him, stun him, doing a little bit of damage.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have him here in front of you, or if you just want me to go through him real quick.
Oh, I've got him too.
Awesome. You want to take his W?
The W I mentioned earlier, Fire Stomp, where on a 50 mana, 6-second cooldown, you unleash fire waves in all directions that deal 39 plus 9 per level damage each. And so, it's really cool for clearing stuff. 6 seconds is pretty spammable. I mean, you get a lot of these off, and you can really get some siege damage in, get some, you know, extra harassment out of it. It's really cool.
I don't know, Daryl, if you have that open or if you
saw. I do. Overpower. This one's my favorite.
Yeah, it is.
It is overpowered. In all
fairness. I heard his E ability is overpowered.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that somewhere, too. So I think it was on Twitter, I think.
I lost track.
So it's 60 mana, 12-second cooldown as well, just like Shadow Charge. And it grabs a target and slams them behind Diablo, dealing 46 plus 6 damage per level, and stunning for 0.25 seconds.
One of my favorites is Overpower and then Shadow Charge, because you can actually pull them away from what they're doing, turn around, and then knock them even farther back, and sometimes towards your turrets or towards your team.
Yeah.
And it's completely pulls them out of their situation and kind of
makes them panic.
Yeah, it totally does.
It's great to watch. Yeah.
Especially somebody like Nova or you know, one of the squishier squishies.
Anyone that can't dash to counteract that a little bit. Yeah. No, I mean, one of my favorite things is sometimes to not do what I said earlier, where I'm imposing myself on the lane, but instead, like, hang back and pretend I'm really wimpy, and then just out of nowhere, go into a bush, mount up, and then just charge in at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
No abandon. And it's a great way to make them start to fear you, which is good, because you're the Lord of Terror.
Right.
And the devil.
One of the best overpowers I pulled off was we had two ogres, and I overpowered and got them trapped between the ogres and myself. They were blocked, and they couldn't escape.
Oh, nice.
It just killed them. Like, it was awesome. It was the most amazing overpower to block them between us three, the two ogres and myself, and it was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, so, it's fun. That's
I don't really know if cool. I could do no, that if I tried, but it, it was an amazing fluke that I still remember doing that. It's so good.
Yeah, that's so cool. And that's the other fun thing about Diablo is that he's one of the bigger hero models, so body blocking with him
is
just almost too easy.
Yeah, you put him and Butcher next to each other and it's silly.
Yeah, it is.
His first heroic ability is called Apocalypse. It is a 100 mana cost, 100 second cooldown. It creates basically an explosion under each of the enemies, wherever they're at on the battlefield, and it goes off after 2 seconds. I have a love-hate relationship with this, because it's really cool, but I think it's actually really easy to avoid. So,
yeah, I think everyone has a mixed feeling about this one. I would use it sometimes in maps where you know you're going to get really tight team fights, like Cursed Hollow can be that way when like a curse comes up and you know everyone's going to be in some bush ready to go, or Haunted Mines when you're going down in the mines. It can be really good there, because everyone's so focused on that fight that when you drop that, I mean, if their team is really tightly packed, like, they'll try to run, but they'll just trip over each other and get stunned by it anyway. So, but I mean, the tight team fights do still lend to more power out of the second heroic ability, which is Lightning Breath on an 80 mana, 60 second cooldown, much shorter cooldown. You become unstoppable while channeling lightning that deals 392 plus 72 per level damage over 4 seconds, and the direction of the lightning changes with your mouse cursor position. So this is what I was hinting at earlier, and we probably should have gone over these abilities before I started rambling. But this is where you can vomit lightning all over everyone. And if
I
you
love
like
this
that,
ability.
Yeah. This, I mean, like, I don't, I never go Apocalypse. I don't know about you.
No. I do sometimes, because it's, I always feel like it's going to be awesome, and if you can, like, if you really have a good idea of what's going on the board, man, you lay that down, and it's so great, and you're the hero, but, yeah, I should probably stop.
I think the pros do take it some. I mean, they've got it all coordinated, right? So they've maybe with Uther's Divine Storm going off right before it, and, I mean, I'm sure they've got some.
You time that with any stun, it's going to be...
Yeah, it is. Actually, it's a third stun for him if you take it. I mean, Shadow Charge, Overpower, and Apocalypse all stun for various... So, I mean, if there's someone that you really want to stop their casting and stuff, it's not bad. But you are right. Like, if you're just doing like a tiny two-man group fight, or if people are really spread out and you put that apocalypse down, it is often just easy to see it and walk out. Because 1.75 seconds is, on most characters, enough time to do that, especially if you got someone that can just blink out or something. It's not my favorite. Plus, I like vomiting on everyone and killing everyone.
Yeah, that's awesome. Daryl,
how about his trait?
Yes.
Trait. What is his trait?
That's the Black Soulstone.
It's not on the page I'm looking at. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah, right. The souls.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you get 100 souls, you resurrect within 5 seconds and lose the 100 souls, which can be very handy if you want to get back into the fight quickly.
Right, right. But they also do other stuff. They for every 10 soul... Or no, wait. How's it go exactly?
Each
soul, you get 0.15% max health, and then you gain 10 per hero kill and 1 per minion kill. So it's not that hard to get up there. And, I mean, this is extra health flat out. And I don't know how in detail you guys want to go into our build that we're going to do here, but there's future talents you could take that buff this even more and kind of brings him back to that old super tanky meat shield that he once was.
Well, yeah, let's get into that. What do you So what do you take there at level 1?
Soul Feast. Again, talking about getting the most out of that... Black Soulstone of his. This is where Black Soulstone now also increases your health regeneration by 3% per soul. So yeah, you can stack it up quite a bit more than that and get a lot of health regen back. And this is great for any mode. Like, I mean, whether or not you've got a healer. I mean, obviously, if you don't have a healer, this is a way to regen yourself in your own lane.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you have one, it's just that much more... Like, they don't need to heal you as much, so they can save their mana and cooldowns for people that really need
right.
it. I do like block in this tree, but only if there's, like, a really good reason to use it. A couple auto-attackers. If you come across a team where it's maybe Illidan, Raynor, and Vala, then, yeah, go ahead and take block. But otherwise, I go Soul Feast every time.
I feel like I should, especially when we do Heroes episodes, just give a disclaimer that there's 111 billion different builds out there.
Yes.
And what we're talking here is really just personal preference or what we like or what we have luck with.
Right.
The great thing about this is matches are so short. You could run this, you could play 5 matches with Diablo, never use the same build once, and win every time, or, it's...
Well, and you can change them midway through. If you feel like you need more damage and you're not dying a lot, then pick a talent that does more. Why not?
Yeah. That being said, I agree with you on Soul Feast. That was generally the one I take.
Always,
I know that Devil's Dew is pretty popular. That reduces the resurrection cost down to 60 souls. I've seen people taking that. I don't like to take talents that basically are me planning on dying and trying to take advantage of coming back. We all die. That's what the game's about. But I like Soul Feast a little better.
It does help you not die, which, as you alluded, is the point. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But, yeah, there's an argument to be made, cutting the cost down to 60 souls for the resurrection instead. But the problem is, I hate that at level 1, because you don't really know how the match is going to go.
Yeah,
by.
Exactly.
If that was a talent at like 13,
mm-hmm.
I might take it occasionally, because at that point it's like, okay, well, they've got 3 levels on us, and we're getting annihilated, so this might be really useful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, awesome.
That's my only...
Right. Daryl, what do you normally go with there?
Oh, the same one. The Soul Feast.
Awesome.
Unless I accidentally click the wrong one, then I don't think.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times I wish I could go mid fight and swap a talent.
I know. I hear you there. At least they don't charge you for respecking or anything. Crazy amounts of gold.
Glyphs.
Great.
Level 4, Multi. What are you looking at here?
Level 4, Fire Devil. Just because of the name. I mean, why not? It's cool. Fire Devil. No. Fire Devil's where Fire Stomp also surrounds you in flames that deal 12 plus 2 per level damage every second for 6 seconds. And 6 seconds, as you'll recall, is the cooldown of Fire Stomp. So, I mean, if you're spamming it, this is up all the time. And it's, again, for me, it goes back to my Arthas play, because Arthas has that the swirling, you know, wind junk around him. Mm-hmm. And this does that same kind of effect. You're doing a little bit of damage to everything around you, but it's huge wave clear. You don't notice it a ton in group fights and when you're chasing people down and stuff, but it is free damage. And the other talents on the tier, while some of them are okay, I think I get the most out of Fire Devil. What do you guys think?
I need to start taking Fire Devil, because I think I was taking Soul Catcher, and the reason, though, was because I was really trying to play against the trait, and...
Oh, yeah.
And the whole... some stuff further down in the tree, but like being able to get just a larger health pool.
Sure.
And so, but now that you mention it, Fire Devil just looks way better.
Soul Catcher's cool, but I mean, Fire Devil also helps you clear minions and get souls anyway. So
The Soul Catcher, that one passively grants you soul every 4 seconds without doing anything. So. If you find yourself roaming or having to run around or really not killing a lot of minions, you're still powering that your trade up. So,
you know what I might take that on though is the new Battlefield of Eternity map, because and we won't get super into detail on this, but it's a map where a good chunk of the match is this big group fight in the middle over these two giant immortals. And I could see that being good there, because then you're not really clearing a ton of minion waves and you could still get free souls. So which is an example of how you can just base your decisions on map, on team composition, on how the match is going. It's what makes the game customizable for sure.
I usually take Essence of the Slain here, actually, because I find I always have mana problems, especially near the beginning of the match. Like if you're spamming your flame wave, I run out of mana. If I'm hitting that every six seconds, I'm out of mana, and I it's like, okay, well, I'll run back to the well, and then, it's still on cooldown, so now I got a hearth because I have no mana and I can't do anything.
Right,
So if I'm taking this and I'm killing minions in the lane, I never have mana problems, like ever.
That is true. There's something to be said for that.
Mm-hmm. That is the one that I take.
I feel like the longer I play heroes, I have maybe less mana problems than I did when I started initially. I don't know if there is I see less value in the first, 5, 6, 7, even 10 levels of really just trying to unload on something, because you almost can't, unless they're just out of place or just being dumb. It's really hard to just lock somebody down that early on. So I feel like I don't really unload that much for the first, 5 minutes of the match, even,
Up through level 4 and such, yeah. But, I mean, there's merit to that for sure, extra mana.
Makes total sense. I mean,
if
you're going to get out there and start just lighting into people, that's a great, great way to do it.
Depends, again, on who you're laning with, whether or not they are going to help you follow up on any of that. A great one is Malfurion, who can not only heal him, but give him some mana and help root someone that you push onto the wall. So, I mean, it all just depends, again, on everything.
Awesome. Level 7. Multi, what do you got here?
Level 7? I am going with Soul Steel. Again, trying to get the most out of the Black Soulstone trait. This is one where you increase the amount of health gained from Black Soulstone by 66%. So, I mean, it's not huge numbers. And I'm not good at math, but an extra 66% of 0.15%, but it is noticeable, and
I kind of wish they would have done 66.6%.
I know, right?
I mean, it's nice. Diablo, right?
That'd be awesome.
We need to write in.
Totally. We need to, yes.
Come on. Because
he could use it. I mean, we just talked about how his survival.
I know, right? It's less than a 1% bump there. Come on.
Yeah, wouldn't be that bad. Yeah. It would be less than he used to have, for sure. So, yeah, I'm right again. No question.
I agree with you totally. I don't even think I've taken anything else in this level 7 tier.
No, I definitely haven't. Still.
I used to take Battle Momentum because it does reduce the cooldown. It's the one where basic attacks reduce ability cooldowns by 0.5 seconds, mm-hmm. and that does count towards things like Lightning Breath, Apocalypse, etc. Mm-hmm. And it is fun, but once I started taking Soul Steel, I never went back.
Yeah, it's a good one. All right, it looks like we all agree on that one.
Yeah, sure.
Great, level 10 then. I need to just get my head out of my butt there and just start taking Lightning Breath more. I don't know why, because Lightning Breath is awesome. I don't know why when that pops up, I just go, oh, Apocalypse, yeah.
Yes. I hear it. But I do the same with Lightning Breath too. And I don't know. I love using it. So for the reasons mentioned earlier, Lightning Breath.
Yeah. Level 13, then, Daryl, which one do you go with here?
The Firestorm, where the waves return, yes. doing 125% uh-huh. damage. That's yep. really good. I really like that one.
This tier, to me, it's far enough down. I mean, level 13, you can really kind of, at that point, you kind of get a feel for how the match is going. Mm-hmm. And there are some survivability talents here. But honestly, Firestorm is so stinking cool, and if you have the Angelic Diablo skin, it's even better. So,
yeah. Oh yeah, Firestorm. And I mean, Firestorm rather makes your Firestomp waves return to you, and they deal 125% on their way back in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So you're doing reduced. Your flat 100% normal damage on the way out, and then 125 on the way back in. It's really like doubling it plus 25%. So. Mm. It's pretty serious.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Level 16, Multi, what do you take there?
16 is weird because I would do Imposing Presence most of the time. This is where when enemies attack you, they have their attack speed slowed by 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. But again, if you're not against an enemy team where a lot of people are doing auto attack damage, like if you don't see Vala or Raynor or Illidan or something like that in the enemy team, then I would switch over to Rampage, which is where your Fire Stomp increases Diablo's movement speed by 20% and his basic attack damage by 50% for 2 seconds. And I don't know about you guys, but in pretty much every video game I play, moving faster and doing more damage is usually a good thing.
Yeah. Right? Yep.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What did you think, though, Daryl? Did you?
Yeah, it's the same one. I take Rampage all the time. Every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started taking Imposing Presence on pretty much any warrior that has it. But did I hear properly that talent is being nerfed?
Oh yes, Imposing Presence is.
So what is it, probably next week? I saw some background downloader earlier tonight on for Heroes, and I know
they're doing the PTR right now.
I know that one's getting hit pretty bad, I guess. I mean,
it is. Let me look up why we went over. I recorded Lords of the Storm last night and we went over it, but I have since
I want to say that it's only the way it's designed right now is that anybody that is around you gets slowed. Is that right? Or do they have to be attacking you?
I think they have to be attacking you, but there's all this stuff now. Like, let me look it up. I'm pulling it up right here. 1 second. Sorry about this.
No. This is perfect because...
Okay, so the new change... A, they're changing the attack speed slow, reducing it from 50% to 40%. And then now, the attack speed slow will now be removed when you attack a target that has not learned Imposing Presence. So if you get kind of stuck with it on someone that's easy to switch targets with, like Raynor or something, mm-hmm. they accidentally hit you, and they're pro enough to notice that they are affected by it, then they can just switch targets and clear it. So
that's quite the... Quite the change to that.
For sure. But that is next week, and at that time, Rampage is going to be all the better in my mind.
Yeah. I know I've used to take Domination a few times, too, because when you overpower, it reduces the cooldown of Shadow Charge.
Yeah.
And that's cool. To me, that was another, almost like you're saying, a mobility kind of thing. So, I mean, that overpowers... You know, like allows you to shadow charge, not twice as much, but a lot more often. So kind of felt good. You know.
I like it. I mean, it's mobility and CC, so can't go wrong. Yeah.
Level 20, then.
20, here's the thing about 20. I had to think about this one for a while, because they're all technically good, except the one for Apocalypse. I think that one's terrible. but that's just me. Anyway, I chose Hellstorm, which is the one for Lightning Breath. It's where your Lightning Breath lasts and reaches 50% longer. This is bringing your Vomit game to the next level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like the difference between someone that's just thinking about, you know, purging their own food to a full-on, you know, what's the term for it? Not anorexic, but...
Binge and purge.
Yeah, that. you vomit that much more often, and for twice as long. It does the same damage, but, I mean, in a sense it does more, because you're doing it longer, right? And you're hitting more targets with it and everything.
You know, I saw somebody hit in the core the other day with this thing, and I couldn't even believe it, like how far back they were. And so,
oh yeah,
that thing is nasty if you take that Hellstorm.
And the others are good. Lord of Terror is one where you activate to steal 10% of the maximum health of nearby enemy heroes, which brings him some more survivability and damage. It's never bad. Bolt of the Storm is like Blink in some of the other, or like, I don't know, Flash, and there's a bunch of names for it, but it's where you teleport to a nearby location, little Flash thing. And it's great for him, again, because you can Flash in Overpower and then slam someone back with the Shadow Charge and opens up, and Escape, too, so it's not bad. But
yeah, you know what, depending on who I'm playing, like, if I'm on a Warrior, I look at that more as a as an intercept or as a chase mechanism than I do. Like if I'm on another hero, I would, you know, that's more of a retreat thing. So yeah, it's funny how your mindset shifts sometimes depending on.
Oh yeah. Well, and at level 20 too, I mean, it's so near the end of the game that if you're not chasing them with it, you're more likely to be losing anyway. But, you know, it can sometimes be the difference between whether or not you lose even in defensive situations. In fact, Diablo in general can be, because when you come back with that Soulstone at the late, late game, you knew the only thing stopping their, you know, catapults and their full push at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the difference maker for sure.
Yeah. A
couple ways.
Yeah, I see a lot of games that don't even make it to level 20.
That's true too. Yeah,
the catch up mechanic is great. I think it's awesome, but sometimes things that really are just so lopsided that it's done. It doesn't matter. You're done before you even get there.
Which is an advantage to this over other MOBAs, the short games. I mean, I can get off work and sit down and sink in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and just be done if that's all I want.
I know my wife loves it when she'll say something, and I'll tell her, all right, we finished this match. She knows that that does not mean I'm going to be playing for another hour.
Right. or like in raiding, for instance.
I just got to kill this boss. We're going to try this again. But yeah,
we watched the third time.
She knows when I say, all right, I'm going to finish this matchup. She knows, all right, cool. Not a big deal.
Problem is, don't be in that situation and then forget and queue up for another one. Because I totally did that the other day, and was in a little hot water with the fiance. But I survived. We survived.
Awesome. Do you have any strats for any maps in particular? I know we're... I don't even know how long we're running, because we've been on this call for so long. But you mentioned the Battlefield of Eternity and maybe taking a different talent because of not killing as many minions. Do you have any kind of thing that just off the top of your head maybe that you would do or not do depending on what map you see?
I kind of alluded to this earlier a little bit. Some of the maps, Apocalypse can be better, Haunted Mines, Cursed Hollow, that sort of thing. He's actually one of my favorite heroes to play in Haunted Mines. In particular, so if you're in Hero League, for instance, and you know that that's the map you're going to be playing, and you are just a general warrior kind of person, I'd consider him over even some of the more meta choices, because like when you're down in those mines, it's so easy to stun anyone against the wall with that Shadow Charge. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what direction you're going, and you can get really cool ones off where you like throw them in the corner and then just block them in. I mean, you can do some one-man body blocking and stuff, and I like him a lot on Haunted Mines in particular. But yeah, I mean, other than that, when in particular maps, it's just all about how you take the talents. Take the wave-clearing ones like Fire Devil, Firestorm, etc., especially if you're in some of the more lane push-heavy maps. Tomb of the Spider Queen is like this. Some of the others, Blackheart's Bay can be. I don't know, that one's up in the air, you know, depending on how long you intend to stay in lane. Base it on who you're running with. You got a buddy that's really good at Malfurion and wants to follow you around and heal you and give you mana and stuff, then, yeah, take a bunch of stuff that helps you clear waves, because sometimes that can give you so much experience, which, by the way, for people who don't know, in Heroes of the Storm, part of the objective is to gain a group experience based on how your kills go, how much siege damage you're doing against towers and stuff. And even just taking down that first wall of towers and the wall can nudge you up to the next level above the other team and give you the edge sometimes for the whole rest of the match. That's why we were talking about, like, some of the games are so short when you're up 2, 3, 4, and in insane times 5 levels and just crushing them. So
I love you mentioned Haunted Mines a couple of times. I love being able to hit level 4 before that first line opens up, so you can snag that first set of talent choices and just give yourself that advantage going down into the mines. If you can get that before the enemy team does, then totally gives you advantage there.
Yeah, if you get that and you work together under there, there's almost nothing they can do. Like, it's almost not worth them trying for it. But yet they're going to anyway, so that's what makes it for sure an advantage. So, yeah. I don't know, did you guys have any other, like, Daryl, you've played a lot of Diablo. Have you had any other map-specific things that you've run into that have been helpful?
No. I don't think map-specific ways like that. That's not the kind of player I am. Like, this is this is why you're here.
Oh.
To teach me. So, like, that's, I don't think like that, or I haven't, like, map-specific strategies for picking talents when, you know, playing a certain hero.
Yeah.
Well, there's your problem.
That could be.
Well, no, I mean, but, like, on Diablo, the one we just ran through, you really could pretty much run any time, too. That's part of why I went with some of these talents is...
Yeah.
There's... Even just, in some of these alternate situations I've talked about where you're taking block and stuff, even then, the health regen from Soul Feast to level 1 is still good, so it's never a bad call.
Great.
So, and if you're like that and you want to just stick with something and really kind of feel out how much damage you take with this build versus the other, and just, I think there's something to be said for that, Daryl, where you are set in your ways and you get the feel for how much damage you're going to do versus how much you're going to take, and it helps you decide better whether you're going to initiate now or later or when to start running for your life, etc. So I think there's something to be said for that.
Set in my ways. Well said.
That even be a show title.
Hey, that just might be.
Awesome.
Nice. So do you have any other pro tips that might help me take my game to the next level?
Again,
log in and play.
Log in and play, yeah.
I was away for a week and a half. Give me a break.
No, I hear it. No, I mean, and there's something, we joke, but that's kind of the truth. Like, I find that to be kind of the awkward thing with talking about the game a lot on Lords of the Storm, is that often the best way to really get to know a hero is just to sink in the time. Get the feel. Again, those little things we were just talking about of when do I initiate? Who do I go for? At what point have I reached the point of no return where if I don't start running now, I'm going to die and so is everyone else? You know, stuff like that only comes with time, only really comes... And to be honest, the only character I really feel like I've fully felt that out on is Arthas. Like, he's been that main for me for so long that I just kind of get it. And some of these others I'm still feeling out even now. So because I'm like you, Rob, I switch a lot between who I'm playing just to not only get everyone to 5 and get that extra gold that you get from reaching character level 5, but just for the fun of trying out new stuff and having a good time, you know? But as far as, I mean, my only other pro tip, if if you can call it that, is to get advice from people who are more pro than me. Again, talking like we had earlier about watching some pro matches. Listening to this podcast, that's always good. You can always... there's a ton of articles out there. If you look up builds for your individual heroes, there are some people that have gone through insane lengths of like writing out every single other hero in the game, what they do when they play against that hero, what's good against them, what to watch out for, and, oh, only charge Uther after he's done the stun on someone else, and like just so many things that they've done all the work for you for, mm-hmm. and you can just kind of hang back and be like, hey, this stuff worked. And I mean, I hate being the guy that comes on and says, all right, just net deck everything. Look up all your heroes, right, yeah. Storm builds. Look up all your Hearthstone decks. I mean, there's something to be said for customization and individuality. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you guys, going back to World of Warcraft, it wasn't until Wrath of the Lich King on my Death Knight where I finally caved in and I was like, okay, I'm going to look up what's the best DPS spec. And what's the best one for PvP and stuff. And as soon as I did that, I started topping damage charts and like getting pretty high up in twos and stuff. And so like I think there's something to be said. And Hearthstone, too, I think net decking in there and maybe making a couple tweaks can be huge. And by the way, I was going to tell you, Daryl, if you don't have a ton of cards right away, a really good search term in Hearthstone that you can do is you can search like... that the keyword is budget. So if you look up budget mage or budget hunter
or something.
You get some really workable stuff like that's often from the classic set and maybe a couple thrones that you probably already have, and you can get some more wins in that way too.
I see.
Yeah, all not right. just the basic ones, but the
right.
budget there, you could make them pretty cheap.
Where they try to do something like what one of the more legendary stacked decks does, but instead they run things like, what's that one? Reckless Rocketeer instead of Leroy and stuff like that. Just little things that you might not think of without looking it up. So that's my advice is net deck everything and don't be original.
That's awesome.
Nice. Okay, well, anyway. are we done with our Diablo discussion?
I think so. I mean, I mean, it's great having multi on, and I could sit here and
pick well, yeah, up but...
tons of stuff. But, yeah, I think in terms of Diablo and what we got tonight, I think that was perfect.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, if you have anything to add to this topic or have questions about future topics, please feel free to send us an email, theshow@thetrainingdummies.com, or leave us a voicemail at thetrainingdummies.com. And I see a couple entries here for things I learned the hard way, so I guess we're going to do that tonight?
Yeah.
All right.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
Multi, I know you got one here, if you want to go first. I sure
do. I'm going to stick with my Hearthstone trend that I'm going on here, because I've got it's definitely something I relearned the hard way in Hearthstone. And I'm going to use a bunch of terms on you guys, so forgive me, but for the sake of time, I will just lay it all out. So, okay. So I was playing a game, I was playing a mid-range druid, which is kind of one of those where you... try to have a really good early game, but then still have some good late game cards to be able to shore up a win either way. And I was playing against Handlock, which I know you guys talked about a little bit on your last episode, where you draw a lot of cards and then try to play huge stuff late game. So, okay. So it was in kind of the near middle end of the game, maybe turn 9 or 10. I did the Druid combo, which is where you do Force of Nature into Savage Roar. You pull out these...
Yes.
Three chargeable trees and then buff their attack. And I had pre-counted out, like before I decided to do this, I had counted out knowing that my opponent was going to end up with 4 hit points, okay? And I had Swipe in my hand, which is a spec of 4 damage. So I was sitting there thinking, okay, well, if I do all this, and then he... because Handlock sends out their Molten Giants, which costs less based on how much damage you've taken. And at four health, it's free. So I was like, okay, he's going to drop the Molten Giants. He's going to give them taunt. And he's going to think he's safe. And then I'm just going to swipe him over the top of him and win. And so then he did play those two Molten Giants, but then followed them up with two Antique Heal Bots, which, if you don't know, they're 3/3 for 5 mana, and they heal you for 8. So he healed himself for 16 and had two giant 8/8 Molten Giants on board. And it was over. Like, I didn't have anything left on the board. The game was over. And so I relearned to not assume that they don't have the exact perfect thing to finish the game, because they might. Every time I assume that, they do, and every time I don't assume it, they don't. So, that was a rough one.
That's what Hen Terrell loves about this, about Hearthstone. It's just the RNG.
Yes, oh, yeah. I love RNG in every game that I play.
Gotta love it.
Mine is from Warcraft this week, and I use an auction house add-on. I believe it's Auctionator. I was going through AMR and saw that going with the crit build on my monk right now for tanking, and just decided to go for it after we had a one of our guests from a while back, Daggard, he tanked with us a few weeks back, and he was, I was talking to him, and he's like, oh yeah, I got a crit build, you know, it's not as safe as the mastery build, but you know, it's really good, you can put out more damage, blah, 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 and I'm like, okay, well, that sounds great, I think I want to try that, I don't feel that squishy, I think I'm good, I'm going to try it. So, you know, long story short, I go and I find, you know, look on AMR, and I've got this trinket in my bank that is the Darkmoon Fair trinket, which is also upgradable. So, great, awesome. I want to upgrade that. I can bump that up to item level 715. But that's like way better than anything else I had. So, I go to the auction house to buy the mats. I need to buy Fellbloods, which is one of the crafting mats that opened up with Tanan Jungle. And so what did I do? I needed some of those, and I went into my add-on and started clicking buy, and just clicking buy as quick as I could, because I needed to buy however many it was, like, but several, you know, couple dozen or whatever. What I did not pay attention to was that I was buying stacks of them and not buying them individually. So I blew through about 55,000 gold in just a few seconds. And wow. I was sitting there, click, 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 click. And all of a sudden, I don't have enough gold for that or whatever the heck. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I looked down and I've got like 800 gold left. And I was like, no! So, oh my gosh, I freaked out. And I was like, what are you going to do? And I go check the mail, and at that point I've got like 400 of these Fellbloods in my bag. It's like, oh my god.
Wow.
And so I'm in Mumble. I tell everybody what happened. They're laughing, and I'm like, it's not funny. It'll be funny later, but right now this is not funny. So I kept what I needed. I put the rest back on the auction house. I sold them. I got almost all my money back. And then what happens? Freaking Salty starts yelling at me about how people in the guild could have used those, and I should have put them in the bank. Like,
oh my god. Was he going to pay you back on that one?
Fortunately, I was able to turn them around. They are still in high enough demand where it was before I even logged out that night. I think I had sold the bulk of them back. So, yeah. Dear Lord. That's stinking add-on.
Nice. I don't think I've ever had that much gold in one place, though, in that game. I'm always one of those, like, paycheck-to-paycheck guys who does the repairs and then cries for a week.
This is probably the best I've done in a while, and it was mainly due to garrisons. I got tons of treasure hunting guys, and then got that legendary follower, and, you know, some of these missions. You do the Blinktron mission, and I think I was making like 3,000 or 3,500 gold off of this one mission, you know, and it's really? Like, I've paid for several months of subscription now with gold. And
see, that's worth it. I definitely need to get into that stuff.
You know, there's people, you know, we've had gold making episodes, and there's people out there that are just, you know, gold capped, and I still, like, to me, like, I can't do that. It's not who I am, you know. I'd rather roll an alliance alt than then didn't sit there and play the auction house, but whatever.
Yeah.
Daryl, I don't know if you have anything or not. So.
Well, pretty much any time I play Hearthstone, I've got something. You know, I think it was the first arena match I was able to get into, or not the arena.
Dude,
no, the brawl. No, I didn't play arena.
Oh,
brawl.
Okay, okay.
The first brawl. I think it was a brawl anyway. But I had him down to one health. And I had, I can't remember which one. It was the one that does, I think, 3 damage to everything. Okay. Including Hellfire. Myself. Yeah. And I played the card. I'm like, sweet, I win. And then I was dead too.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't realize. Because I play on my phone, so when you have your cards up, you can't see your own health.
That's true.
Yeah, that's so I didn't realize I was below 3 health, so I didn't win either. So yeah, I learned the hard way that I should check my health before playing one of those damage everything cards.
Yeah, that stuff happens, man. I had I play the game on the bus a lot on my phone because I take the bus into work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a guy today who was in a decent spot. He was at 2 health, and then he life tapped and was not at 2 health. So,
oh no,
that stuff definitely happens to people. It's not.
I've kill commanded my own face before, like just not, you know, like I'm playing on your phone is. It's great, but it's a pain, man.
It can be tricky.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're shooting your own faces, really. I've had some games where I knew I was going to lose, and I'm playing a hunter, right? Mm-hmm. And you got quick shot, and so you just shoot yourself in the face, say, like, good game, and then just concede.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
it just brings it home. I don't know. There's something to be said for self-damage.
Mm-hmm. If I'm at that point, sometimes instead of conceding, I'll just go face into something that I know will kill me.
So. Yeah, right.
Mm. Nice.
So, yeah.
All right.
It don't matter that you're out of town. He's got some shit us to send over. So let's turn it all around. And scoot in a little bit closer. I just want to you.
All right, I need to send some head love to our guildies. Had One Job on the Deathwing server, as well as to all members of our raid team, Team Crabdick. And I need to send some head love to Multizort for coming on the show today and giving me a little more insight into the best hero, Diablo.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you, sir.
It's the devil.
Best devil in
any. Mm-hmm.
It's still weird talking about Hearthstone and stuff so openly. It's such taboo for so long.
I know. Still wrong.
Definitely shout outs to our guildies in the Had One Job on Deathwing server and now Lightbringer server.
Mm-hmm.
So I can
turn coats.
I was like, I knew. Can I make Daryl's hair turn gray here? But. Yeah, Multi, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate the invite, for sure.
Yeah, awesome. And everybody on the Twitter and Facebook and everybody who's been excited and looking forward to some of our new content. So thank you guys. Multi, how about you?
I'd like to send a shout-out to my other Lords of the Storm at the Lords of the Storm podcast. You can go check us out on Twitter as well, at Lords of the Storm. And just, I don't know, iTunes us or whatever. Look us up. I want to shout out to my former guildies and stuff as well. The Zord Lords, that cult that I'm the... I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to call myself the leader of the Zord Lords and the leader of the cult. Because no one's here to contradict me. So there you go, guys. I know you're listening.
Nice.
But anyway, so, okay, we were on Thunderlord on the Horde side back in the day. So shout outs to, if anyone's listening from back there, it wasn't the biggest server, but... shout-outs to Forgotten Horde and any of the other, like Forgotten Empire, some of the other guilds. I think Forgotten Horde, that vanilla guild, which wasn't that great in vanilla, to be completely honest, although it was fun. I think they're still active, though. I think they've improved quite a bit. So if anyone happens to be listening in, hit me up. We'll play some Heroes games. Yeah.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, do you want to let everyone know what your Twitter is or how they can email you, reach you?
Sure. So my Twitter is at Multizord, where I do a lot of I post a bunch about Hearthstone and just random junk, of course. So you can find me there. You can also, again, you can check out our general podcast there. And I guess you can send emails into my podcast, Lords of the Storm, at Outlook.com. So, you know, check it out.
I believe that wraps up episode 102 of the Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, or thetrainingdummies.com. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust from people you shouldn't.